Oh, very good. First and foremost, before I begin, I'm going to ask the Lord's help and his blessing, because I need his help more than most, and we all need his blessing for sure. Bow your hearts with me as I talk to the Lord this morning. Kind Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. You're so awesome. You're so amazing. You're so wonderful. The message you've given me to deliver expresses that so wonderfully, and I thank you for the privilege to deliver your message, Lord. It's one that I need most certainly in the present times we're all experiencing together, and I'm certain it'll be helpful and useful to each of us, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Every word of it's yours, and I need your help to deliver it, Lord, fluently and in a way that's helpful and useful and meaningful and memorable to us. Lord, hide me in your shadow, that they can see only you this morning, Lord. And I thank you for the privilege. It's a privilege, Lord, to represent you according to my creation in your image. It's a privilege further still to represent you, Lord, according to Christ's Spirit alive and real within me, Lord. And I count it a privilege also this morning to represent you as I stand before your people and share your word. I don't take the privilege lightly, Lord, and ask your blessing upon it, and ask your the blessing of your revelating spirit on every heart and soul in this place, Lord, so that we can take the things that we've enjoyed together here this morning outside these doors into a lost and dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my message today is, Who is God Really? Everyone has, I won't say everyone, but I would say largely, by majority, everybody has a definition of who God is. There may be, I'm not going to join the debate, there may be ones who simply don't believe in him at all. I don't know for sure how I feel about that, but I do know this. Most people have a definition of who God is to them. And one thing's for sure and certain, none of us can fashion God into our desire. He is as he is, for sure and certain. But every one of us, or most of us, have a definition in our minds of who God is. And I think it's also safe for me to say that most people on some level are not inaccurate in their definition of who God is. Many people, even those who don't have a personal relationship with him through Christ Jesus our Lord, many of them still are accurate on some level, in some part, in some way. They are accurate in their definition of who God is. That being said, and that being, I believe, true, this also is true. None of us, each and every one of us, who have even a personal relationship with him through Christ Jesus our Lord, even us, none of us can fully comprehend the largeness of God. None of us can fully understand the entire definition of who God is. And that leaves us with the question of who God is really. And in order, I feel, to comprehend to the best of our ability of who God is, we need to always, as in so many cases in life, examine his word, because essentially words that I share so often in my Gideon presentations, the answer to all of life's questions are in the pages of this book. So if we are going to have the clearest understanding, the most accurate definition of who God is, in spite of the fact that we can't begin to comprehend his largeness with our small minds, the best place for us to discover who God is really is to turn in his word. And I like the way that he defined himself for us. It's so beautiful and it's so perfect. As he is perfect in all of his ways. I'll be reading from the book of Exodus, if you'll turn to chapter 3 and stand when you've found it, in honor of God's word. Those of you who are able, if it's not difficult for you to stand, if you'll stand in honor of God's word, when you found Exodus chapter 3, you probably all could follow the story by heart. It's a most familiar one of Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush. I'll begin reading in chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, and you can follow along as I read. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro and his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now go, turn aside, and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land onto a good land, and a large, and onto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel have come unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people to the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go on to Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. And this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Thank you kindly, and you may be seated, everyone. So essentially, to set the stage, here, you know the story well, but to put into context for you, to put into some kind of understanding for you, imagine yourself being Moses, standing before the one and only true and living God, and being asked to do this thing that was extremely difficult. He was supposed to go to the ruling leader of perhaps the most powerful country of that day, and he was supposed to persuade Pharaoh to let these Israelite slaves, these Israelite people go, and in which case they wouldn't be able to serve him anymore, and they'd have to do all of their work and all of their things for themselves. Moses stood before the one and only true and living God, and these were God's instructions to Moses. And you have to understand, when it comes to the frame of a mind, the small frame of a human mind essentially can't even begin to comprehend the largeness of the one and only true and living God. However, Moses had a better chance than most of us, because Moses was indeed an intellect in his time. He was raised in the Egyptian ways, and he understood Egyptian learning and Egyptian technologies. And if you want to sneeze at that, I will remind you, in spite of our intelligence today, in spite of our technologies today, we still have absolutely no understanding of how the Egyptians erected many of the obelisks and the statues and the pyramids that they built, the materials they used with the technologies of that day. Nothing meshes, and we still can't understand how they erected and built many of the things that they built. We would have a difficult time doing many of the things that they done in their day with the technologies of our day. So you need to understand, when it comes to the small frame of a human mind, Moses' frame of mind was a little larger than most of us. He was indeed, in my opinion, an intellect. He was well-versed in the greatest education in the land at that day, I believe. And he knew much more than most of us. But yet, he asked the question, "Who shall I say sent me?" When he stood before the one and only true and living God, in spite of his intellect, which was much larger than mine, you all can speak for yourself, but I can tell you his intellect was much larger than mine. And this man, so intelligent, such an intellectual human being, stood before the one and only true and living God, and God laid out everything that he wanted him to do for him. And all Moses could say is, "Who am I supposed to say sent me? I'm supposed to go to the leaders of the Israel nation and tell them someone sent me to do this thing, and I have to stand before the intellectuals of the Egyptian society and try and persuade them that God wants me to do this thing. Who shall I say sent me?" And I love God's definition of himself. What a perfect way to define himself, because he's perfect in all of his ways. How was God supposed to define himself to the small frame of a human mind, even as large as Moses' intelligence was? It's small in comparison to God's largeness. And how was God to define himself to the small frame of this human mind? And he did it in such a beautiful and a perfect way. Just tell him, "I am that I am." What essentially was God saying to Moses as God defined himself to the small frame of the human mind in this way? He essentially was expressing to Moses, if Moses could have looked into the future — we all know the story well because it's recorded for us — but if Moses at that moment in time could have looked into the future and he could have seen every obstacle and every hardship that was going to be presented to him in the story of the Exodus from Egypt, if he could have looked into the future at that moment and he could have seen Pharaoh's resistance and he could have seen God's plagues as he sent each one, and Pharaoh's heart would be softened, and then his heart would be hardened, and then his heart would be softened, and finally he would let the people go. If Moses could have looked into the future and seen this, if he could have seen the crossing of the Red Sea, if he could have seen the Egyptian army pursuing them to bring them back into Egypt, if he could have seen every single hardship and fail and obstacle that was going to be presented to them in the rest of his life, which essentially was the Exodus from Egypt, if Moses could have looked ahead and seen all of these things, first of all, he'd have probably done like me and peed his pants, if not run away and cried. But most of all, if he could have looked ahead and seen and asked the one and only true and living God this important question: "Are you the one that can help us through all of these encounters that we're going to face in life? They're overwhelming to me. I need to know. I need to tell these people when I go to them. I need to tell the intellects of our day when I go to them who you are. In order to do that, I need to know myself. Are you the one that can do? Are you the one that can help me through everything that I'm going to encounter in this endeavor that you've laid out before me?" And God's answer to Moses' question and his answer to our question every time we might ask is, "I am. You bet that I am." How could God have defined himself more beautifully than that? We have all of the recording in God's word, how he walked humanity through every obstacle and every difficulty in life. It's recorded for us in this wonderful book. Think about the Exodus from Egypt, how the people were sustained for 40 years of wandering around, how their clothing never wore out, how they were fed, how they always had drink. You know the story, you know the miracles. Are you a God who can do all of these things? Are you a God that can help us through all of these obstacles that we encounter in life? His answer always will be, I am that I am. We can go on then, if it's not enough for you or for me, that we have a recording of his goodness. We have an answer to the question, are you able to help us through every trial and every hardship? We have the answer to that question recorded right here. And we have his answer, indeed, I am that I am. But we can go on then and examine our own lives. You can each do it personally. I'll do it personally to myself. When I think of all that God has done in my life, it's astounding to me. And as an infant child, as I was born into this world, if I'd have had the ability to see into the future of my life 58 years to this present day, pretty soon, in a couple weeks, and I would have presented that same question to God, who shall I say you are? Who am I supposed to define yourself to me? I don't understand who you are. And I could have seen into the future as that newborn child, every obstacle that I was going to face in my life, every trial that I was going to endure in my life. And I could have asked God, are you someone that can help me do this? Because I don't see a way. His answer would be the same each and every time any of us ask that question. Are you a God that can help us through this thing? It's too large for me. It's too big for me. I can't understand how I'm going to do this. His answer would always be the same as he defined himself to Moses from that burning bush. I am that I am. I'm your guy. I'm the one. I am that I am. To answer your question, I am. So we could go on further still then. We each have our own story in life. On top of what's recorded in his word, that he is indeed the great I am. I think of the power in his definition of himself. And I hope to tell you it's powerful to me, and I hope that it's powerful to you. I think of the story when Judas brought a band of men, officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees. He brought them with lanterns and torches and weapons in the night to take Jesus to have him crucified. And Jesus asked this band of men, whom seek ye? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. When Jesus identified himself, when he defined himself to the small frame of those human minds, when Jesus answered their question and he spoke, I am he. This powerful force of men fell backwards to the ground. There is great power in God's definition of himself. Are you a God that can help me through what's in front of me? Because I can't see a way. I am that I am will be his answer every single time. As much evidence as we have of the beautiful definition of God from his word, from our own life's experiences, It should be enough for me. It should be enough for you to know who God is, really. But if somehow you still can't comprehend who God is, really, understand that. We can't wholly and entirely. However, if you still need more of what truly defines, what really makes Him the great I am, brace yourself, and He'll take you even further and expand the small frame of our human minds just a little bit more. Who is God really? What really defines who He is? What really makes Him the great I am? You've all been there, and we're all experiencing some of it together now, worldwide. Who is God really? What makes Him the great I am? When life hurts, seemingly more, than we can even bear. Y'all have your own stories. Y'all lost precious loved ones. Some have lost children. So unnatural for us to outlive our children. When life hurts, seemingly more than we can bear, we all have our stories, and we're all living in a time that's difficult to bear as well, and experiencing things together. When life hurts, seemingly more than we can bear, when the whole world seems to be crumbling and falling to pieces all around us, when we see and we endure things that seem so unfair and so unjust, when we just can't understand and we just can't see God's hand at work in the events in our lives in this world, when the dark shadows of life hang over us, and it feels like we'll never feel the brightness of happiness again. That's when God defines Himself the greatest. That, in fact, is when He expresses who He is, really, in the most profound way. Isaiah 55:9, we're reminded, it's very familiar to all of us, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's hard for us sometimes, and we're certainly all experiencing that together in the world around us today. It's hard for us sometimes to see God's hand in what's happening in our lives. But I'm here to encourage you this morning. The great I am, the one and only true and living God, no matter what it appears on the outside, it's easy for us sometimes to think that God has turned a blind eye to the things that we're hurting over in our lives. We all go to that place. I myself go to that place. There have been times I have laid in tears and questioned God why, because I couldn't see His hand in what I was encountering. I know I'm striking a chord in every human being on this earth, and certainly everyone in this place. There's times when it's just difficult, if not impossible, for us to see God's hand in this thing that we're going through. But I want to encourage you this morning that God's not turned a blind eye, and He's not losing a battle over evil. In fact, Satan is no adversary to to God at all. He fell from heaven like lightning. He never heard the opening bell. There was no fight between him and God. The one and only true and living God is all powerful and almighty. So what am I saying? Well, I can't give you relief from the hardships you have endured in your life, or the ones perhaps that you'll endure yet to come. But I can tell you this, and let this be an encouragement to each and every one of us. It is so much to me. Even somehow, in some way that we don't understand and we can't comprehend, because he's so much larger than we are, his ways are so much higher than our ways, even evil in some way that we can't understand and comprehend, even evil, and even the things that hurt us so much that we don't know how we can press on in life, and we don't know why we had to endure them, and we'll question God until we meet him face to face why it had to occur. Even those things somehow in some way are serving a beautiful purpose that we just simply can't understand, because he defined himself indeed. I am the great I am. I am that I am. He is indeed the great I am. But even by his definition, it's difficult for us to comprehend and understand. But I promise you this, no matter what hardships you endured in life, no matter what hardships may stand in front of you yet to come in your life in this world, I promise you it will hurt. And I promise you, you will shed real tears. I promise you, you will question why you had to experience these things. But I promise you just the same, someday you'll bow humbly before the one and only true and living God, the great I am, and you'll thank him that everything that you experienced in this life, even the hard things, went exactly the way that they did, because when you meet him face to face, you'll understand his largeness, and you'll see why everything that you encountered in your life fit in perfectly to his plan. Are you that kind of God? His answer will always be, I am that I am. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego so often, and their faith, and how our faith is to be identical to theirs. They stood before a heathen king faced with a choice: bow down to my idols or be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And I like their answer. It sustains me in life so often, especially when I'm facing hardships and encountering hard things. I love their answer. I don't know, King, if our God will save us from a fiery death in that furnace, but I know this, he's able. And that's all I need to know. He's able. We really need to cling to that as we're facing so many hardships in life. What am I saying in conclusion? I might lose a little bit of my dignity right now, because the longer I live in the Lord, the more excited I get about him, and I just can't help it. I just want to make you all feel comfortable. If anybody wants to jump up and shout, even if you want to sing and dance in the streets or in the place like David did, I won't be doing that. I don't want to frighten other human beings. But it'll be okay. As I give you my conclusion here this morning, if you lose your dignity a little bit, and if you just sit there with a beautiful look on your face, that's perfectly okay too, because I promise you, the adrenaline of God's goodness is going to be coursing through your veins, and in your spirit, you will be singing and dancing. So you do as your will, and pardon me if I lose my dignity a little bit as I give you the conclusion to my message today. What am I saying? What am I trying to express to you? Who is God really? I am the great I am. I am that I am. He is indeed the great I am. What am I saying? What do I want to you, each and you, as well as me, to take with you from this message that's nothing of my own? It's of the Lord's. I just hope that I got to share it here first, before anywhere else, and the Lord blessed me with that privilege. What am I saying in conclusion? I'm saying this. He's awesome. He's amazing. He's wonderful in every conceivable way. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's gracious. He's kind. He's loving above all love. He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger. He's of great mercy. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. Quotes from his word, much of these words. Creation itself expresses his greatness, and it fascinates us still today, mankind, somehow still today. After all of these years, we have yet to discover it all. There's new discoveries being made every day. He's righteous in all of his ways. He's holy in all of his works. He comes near to all who call on him in truth. He will hear their cry and will save them. He preserves them that love him. And he will destroy all the wicked. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. He is wonderful. He is our counselor. He is a prince of peace. He is almighty. He is just. He is fair. He does nothing in error. And nothing is impossible unto him. He knows all. He sees all. He is all. And he is in all things, even when we can't see it. Apart from him, there is nothing. He created all things at his spoken word. And then he formed man from the very dust of the ground. He formed them into his own image. And then he done something beautiful and amazing in comparison to all the rest of creation. Instead of just form man and speak into his existence, the one and only true and living God, the great I am, he went even further and he breathed life into humanity. Indeed, in him I live and breathe and have my being. Apart from him, there is nothing. He stands apart from time. One day with him is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years or more as one day. He transcends time itself, and on and on and on and on and on. We can go expressing his greatness. On and on we could go. And our greatest efforts would scarcely scratch the surface of the definition of the one and only true and living God. Human vocabulary is exhausted long before his greatness is sufficiently defined. But no matter. Because I promise you, for all eternity, all of those who know and rest with him, each of us who know and will one day rest with him, will proclaim his greatness for all eternity with a heavenly language that will indeed define once and for all in an unending chorus of praise the awesomeness of our Lord and our God. Until then, here we are. In this world, living our lives, and it's not always easy, it's not always pretty. But let it be sufficient for the small frame of our human minds to know him as he defined himself for us. I am that I am, indeed he is, the great I am, and he is glorious in all of his ways. And I would ask each and every one of you in this place that's able to stand to your feet in closing and give our Lord, the one and only true and living God, a hand of applause that'll shake the timbers in this place. Thank you, everyone, for your kind attention, and I'll close in prayer, and we'll part our separate ways. Kind Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being the great I am, for being all that any of us need and more, far more than any of us can even understand. And most of all, Lord, and this is a great privilege for us, help us to represent you. We can't represent all of you. You're a lot. But help us to represent you as much as we can to every individual that we encounter in life, not with words of great intelligence and wisdom, always just in the things that we do and the things that we say and our reaction to the things that we encounter in life. We need to react differently, Lord, than those that don't know you. We are instructed to give a reason for the hope that is in us before anybody can ask the reason they need to see that hope. Help us, Lord, to remember as we go from this place, no matter what we're encountering in life, oh, there's a lot of difficulty. None of us have the answers. We're just all stuck in a thing that we don't necessarily know how to navigate. But there's one thing we know, the great I am. We know the one who has the answers to everything that we're going to encounter in life. And when we need the answers, you'll walk us through each thing that we encounter. You won't take the pain away. It might be difficult, but somehow it will serve your purpose. And that's all each of us should desire to do, Lord. Serve your purposes in our life, Lord. We're working for our reward, and we want our reward to be great. Lord, so help us as we leave this place to represent you well, that others might see you in us. And I thank you for our time together and each beautiful one that you have given me to enjoy it with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.